Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. And anywhere I say fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Holy cow, Larson. I asked everybody to leave a rating, a ranking, a review on the Apple iTunes thing. And man, it
what a great success
goes to show results. Oh, look, we got audio. It goes to show that results will happen. So that's awesome. I'm going to look right now. Categories.
First of all, thank you, Jared. You wish me happy birthday. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Wish me happy birthday. I appreciate it.
It's your birthday today. Is it bugging you that we can't see that screen right there? We're just going to have to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's your birthday. This is a piece of paper I have. It's your birthday present.
Okay.
There are items in the mail.
Okay.
I would like to give this to you. Your card. These are paid for, so you can't say no, I don't want them. It's already done. You got to wear them too.
Is this the punishment shirt?
No, that's a shirt you have to wear. I mean, that's just a shirt that you're going to wear.
I guess you're paying for it, so I have
I'm
to.
Paying for it. It's your birthday gift.
So, thank you, first of all. Yeah. Steve got for me this Okada shirt. I know you can't see it.
Yeah. It's the cool Okada shirt. I think it's relatively new, maybe not.
Yeah, it is.
It's
no more than 2 or 3 months old.
Okay.
And then a Bullet Club Hunter one.
Not Bullet Club. I got you Bullet Club Hunter shirt.
Hunter.
Yeah. So there you go.
Thank
you. Are you? Has it been confirmed that you're going to Bola Night 2 with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I know.
You got to wear that.
The Okada one? Cool. Done.
No, the Bullet Club Hunter shirt.
I don't think you get to dictate the terms to that degree.
I think that's part of your birthday present. You're so old now.
I am.
Yeah. Anyways.
I have reason to be grumpy. I'm getting old.
Is our audio okay? Hold on.
Yeah, we checked a little bit ago. Don't you remember?
I just want to make sure that we're not like on a weird loop. Sometimes that happens. I think we sound great.
We sound fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Let's get on with the show. Thank you.
Yeah.
For the gifts. I appreciate it.
We're also available on the Patreon.
Wear a Bullet Club Hunter shirt.
I want to say thanks to everybody for hanging out with us yesterday during the live stream.
That was a long day, but fun.
It was a blast. You know what's funny is that SummerSlam, so we're here to talk about SummerSlam, obviously. SummerSlam did not feel as long as sort of I figured it would.
Mm.
Well, yeah, we slipped back off the top 200.
Well, it kind of did. Keep in mind that we missed the first hour and a half of the pre-show.
Yeah.
So you have to add that to the overall experience. Also,
that's true.
During the cast Big Show match,
mm-hmm.
Time was definitely moving slower. There was a point in the show, that match, and then the match that followed it. What was it? Oh, yeah, that Orton Rusev hunk of crap,
mm-hmm.
where the show really slowed down. And it seemed like it took the air out of the audience, too.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So there was a palpable sense of, this is a drag right now during the bits you were talking about.
Yes.
I think maybe because we had like 3,000 people watching along with us and looking at the various forms of, and then like watching the show and being able to comment. It definitely helps. I'll put it this way. It definitely helps to make a 5-hour pay-per-view. It helps to make it a group experience.
Yeah, there's distraction from the boredom of the show.
Right, exactly. So maybe that's what it was.
I think that's what it was.
Next time we have a live stream, maybe tune in. If you felt that the show was a drag, maybe tune in to one of our live streams. If you haven't watched SummerSlam yet, you can still watch our reactions live stream on YouTube.
Yeah.
We queue up some sync points a couple times. I don't know if anybody in the comments has left a full rundown of like the time bits for the reactions. I was planning
on
like...
Yeah, someone did.
Oh, they did? Okay, yeah. I'll have to pin it to the top of the comments. I'll do that later on today when we're done here.
Before we continue, a quick programming note. This review is going to go up right away. So
mm-hmm.
streaming it.
Right.
Later tonight, we will have... have our NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3
correct
review tomorrow morning, first thing.
For all you Dan lovers out there, Nerdcubed has returned to YouTube. Hear it going in Raw, the place where he started this podcast along with us.
Yeah.
We've got highlights and lowlights with Dan, with Nerdcubed.
Yeah. First thing tomorrow morning.
So we're giving you the guys, the people out there who want the Steven Larson essence,
mm-hmm.
is right now our SummerSlam review. And then the people who want Dan, who sometimes needs to be filled in a little bit with what's been going on.
Yeah.
But that's part of the charm of having Dan on the show.
Yes.
We're going to give you guys that too.
Yeah,
so
you get both worlds.
You get your cake and you get to eat it too here with Going In Raw.
Yeah.
So let's kick off with the pre-show, SummerSlam pre-show. We had the empty, this was a gimmick match, an empty arena match.
It was a tag six-man empty
arena match. Well, let me ask you this.
This seemed to be some sort of miscommunication.
If like nobody was shows
the,
up.
The Barclay Center wasn't told that the doors were supposed to open at a certain time, or the Barclay Center didn't tell WWE that the doors were opening at a certain time, because there was maybe like 200 people in the arena, it looked like, when this match started.
Yeah.
And it was such a distraction that I could not pay attention to anything.
Yeah.
Because like, especially when the Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan were walking down the ring, and like the people that were sitting right at the back by the ramp, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
A few other people there, and there was a long stretch with nobody.
Yeah, stretch,
and then a few more people.
Yeah,
and there was a whole side on the floor where the hard cam is. Like anybody was there.
Mm-hmm.
Empty.
Hmm.
By the time the second match, the Cruiserweight title match, the arena had filled in somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't look like it was completely desolate, mm-hmm. like a GFW show.
Some people are saying that I'm having mic problems here on the live show.
Uh-oh.
How's my audio? I'm testing my audio right now. I didn't... The empty arena thing didn't bug me.
Oh, it bothered me.
As much did it.
Yeah.
It did, because I kind of... I don't know. I kind of knew that was sort of the...
Well, I mean, you don't expect a packed arena
right.
at the very start of the pre-show. But
no, I knew it was empty beforehand because people had mentioned that. Because I watched it this morning. And so
by people, you mean me.
Yeah, I think I saw some on Twitter too. I kind of realized that would be the case going into it. So I didn't really pay too close attention to it. I'm going to do a quick audio check here because we're live.
Sounds fine to me. Just don't mess with your mic.
He said, now it's good. I'm going to go back over here. That is the thing about doing live shows.
Yeah, sometimes you encounter technical difficulties.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with us. Although, hey, on the way today, I'm not messing with it. Our Elgato face camera thing.
Oh, the new thing.
Yeah, the new thing. So maybe this stream will look... Although it looks great here. Yeah, it's just when fine. You blow it up to like full screen. But this is like a ridiculously high resolution.
Yeah.
Display. Anyways, yeah, the match was what it was. It was kind of, I mean, it was a curiosity that they had the Hardy Boys, the Intercontinental Champion, and then the product of not just Kurt Angle, but the big Kurt Angle storyline, all in the pre-show.
The
all
very
curtain
first
jerking.
Match.
Exactly.
Of the pre-show, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that maybe the plan was for Jason Jordan to challenge for the Intercontinental title during the main card of SummerSlam.
Right.
And then they realized, oh, that might not be the best idea this soon.
Yeah.
So they held back on it, but the story developed some. But you got to have the Intercontinental title defended on the show.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
No, I don't think anybody predicted that Jason Jordan, number one, like, I don't know how much, I'm sorry, I get nervous when it's not near me.
Well, just find a comfortable spot for it and don't touch it.
Comfortable now, baby. I don't know, like, why they didn't have a grander plan for this Jason Jordan thing, because it was the build up to it was popping ratings to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people tuned in. A lot of people tuned in for the reveal. It was a hot storyline, and they just did nothing with it. And I get that it's too soon for him to have, you know, got an Intercontinental title shot. It's just this was the match. I mean, I'm actually glad this match was on first, because I did not care one bit.
Yeah, especially
about
considering we just saw this match on Raw.
Yeah.
Same match.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, Ty Perez, $2. Happy birthday to Larson. Also, his girlfriend, Andrea.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Ty.
You share a birthday with quality people. So I didn't...
Trent Seven's birthday today, too.
Oh, interesting.
And another wrestler. I forget who, though.
I don't know.
Anyway, sorry.
Coldwater Larson. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't care less. Miz pinned Jason Jordan with a skull-crushing finale. Jason Jordan was booked pretty strong in this.
Yeah.
But
he missed a tag.
I mean, the Hardys were supposed to have a thing. The Hardys were supposed to have a thing with the Revival.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So, you know, what are you going to do? They're injury prone. Next up, we had a fantastic match. Neville, by the way, how much did you love Neville's ring gear?
Oh, it was great.
It was all just glistening white. It
and
was,
silver.
Looked very, yeah, and silver. Looked immaculate.
It looked very great. Good.
We were both surprised. Neville went over here.
Yeah,
Neville,
we were both expecting Tozawa to retain.
Regained his cruiserweight title from Akira Tozawa.
In a good, fast-paced match. Again, Tozawa's previous shoulder injury came into play.
Mm-hmm. Leading up to this, too, including the last episode of 205 Live, you know, Neville had been seen a couple times on the pre-show at TakeOver, in the crowd at TakeOver. Over the weekend, they, I think, showed the, what's it called? Up, Up, Down, Down Rocket League
yes.
Finals, where him and Sasha Banks took on, I believe, AJ and Charlotte.
Yes.
I think those were the teams.
Yeah, he was still very much in character.
And he was the entire time. And this was, I mentioned this on the live stream. He is the one guy, or he is one guy who I can point to and say, you know what? It actually does help my, the immersive experience of getting into 205 Live and his program.
When he seems so dedicated.
When he seems so dedicated.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so there, I mean, there is that element in terms of, like, you know, injuries being caved and stuff. But, you know, if I saw Neville hanging out on, you know, out on the tour, taking tourist pictures with, you know, Titus O'Neil, it internally would have killed this a little bit for me.
What if he was out doing tourist stuff, but he still looked miserable?
I would be fine with that.
Okay.
I would be totally fine with that. If he lives it on the outside, it does add, and I don't expect them to do it because they're performers.
Yeah.
But it does add.
Maybe he really is kind of a grumpy person.
Yeah. Do we have a super chat
we
there?
We have two. One from Justin Desnoyers, 500 yen. Says for happy birthday and for a sweet Brody shirt. That is a nice shirt. And also $2 from Alto Voltaje. Larson wants a two sweet for his birthday. Not going to happen.
Okay. I thought the match was really good. I like Neville going over here only because it extends this feud. I feel like if Akira Tozawa, which we both thought he would retain. That's the thing about 205 Live. They're really good at
extending feud without making them boring.
Right,
or
exactly.
Redundant.
Yeah. And on top of that, it was a clean victory for Neville.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, he played dirty but didn't cheat.
Yeah.
Which is what he's supposed to do. I love this. I thought it was great. I think the next time, especially given that this is sort of a taste of what we can expect the next time Neville loses his championship, I'm really looking forward to that now.
Yeah, me too.
Because we see how invested he is when he loses the title.
Yeah,
it isn't
that belt means so much to him.
Exactly. Like when he grabbed it from the ref and just stared at it. Didn't acknowledge anybody else.
Nope.
Stared at it. It was great. I loved
it. When someone values that belt so much, it elevates the belt.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A lot.
And he's done wonders for that cruiserweight title.
Yes, he has. Next, we had the Usos versus the New Day for the SmackDown tag team titles. The New Day came out. Dropped a promo before the match wearing ring gear. Commentary said inspired by the Red Lantern. You said that's a very obscure reference.
Well,
fill me in.
Okay, the Red Lantern, from what I understand, is a DC Comics thing. They did a storyline with the Green Lantern mythos.
Yeah.
Where I don't know the extent of it, where it was revealed that like every color on the spectrum had their own variation lanterns. And so you had like yellow lanterns out there, red lanterns, blue lanterns, and then eventually like the white lantern. I think there was the black lanterns, and then like the white lanterns was like the conglomerated thing. And the red lanterns apparently are the rage filled lanterns.
Yeah.
And, the commentary noted that their costumes were in homage to the red lanterns to show off their rage. That is like the nerdiest reference. Talk about like a stretch. That was an extremely nerdy reference there.
Before we continue, we got some more super chats. Johan Solo, $2. Who is buried more, Corbin or Rusev?
We'll get to that question later.
Yeah, Emilio Hernandez, $5 off topic. But did you guys see the newly released cards for Destruction? Oh, no. And King of Pro Wrestling. Have not seen those. Check those out. I'll check those out when we're done.
So that led to the Usos versus the New Day. This was, you think this was the
best wrestling match of the whole night.
The actual wrestling match. And
The main event was a ton of fun.
I'm hard-pressed to disagree.
The main event was tons of fun and had a lot of really enjoyable high spots.
Main event was my favorite match of the night.
Yeah, yeah. But I think after Lesnar got carted off, it was still fun. But once the high spots weren't exactly there, it was still a fun match, but not as spectacular as the first part of the match was.
Right.
So I think from bell to bell, this SmackDown tag title match was the most enjoyable wrestling, pure wrestling match of the entire card.
The Usos have such great chemistry as a team.
Yes.
The New Day, obviously, has amazing chemistry as a team. And these teams together have amazing chemistry with each other.
They have not put on a bad match.
We've said this before, you know, like, yeah, they have not put on a bad match. Their matches are always really, really good. And this is right in line with everything we've seen from them.
Yeah. At one point, the New Day did hit their finisher, and then Jimmy Uso came in and broke it up. Shortly after that, Jay picks up Xavier Woods and just throws him over the top rope onto Jimmy and Kofi.
Was it Kofi? Okay, that sounds right.
And then Kofi gets thrown to the ring steps.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, Big E hits Jay with the suicide dive through the ropes.
The Big E suicide dives always scare the crap out of me. But, man, he launched himself. Usually he does a thing like you can tell when they're taking a suicide dive off. And that I say that tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Because you don't really take any suicide dives off. But when they sort of jog towards the suicide dive and just sort of launch themselves and almost hug the guy
land. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was Big E flying with all the power of the Red Lantern.
It's part suicide dive, part spear.
Yeah, 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 exactly. He went out.
Yeah.
He went out there. So I was very happy he didn't kill himself.
Yeah.
But it was a very impressive looking suicide dive.
The finish saw Big E in the middle of the ring, ate a bunch of super kicks from the Usos.
Yeah.
What, there was one each and then one and then one in stereo from each of them, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of a Young Bucks thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've done it before, but I know it best. Like, they'll just... I love when the Young Bucks will take, like, three guys.
Oh, and just, like...
Bang, bang, bang,
succession.
Bang,
yeah.
Bang, bang. Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
And after that, the Usos hit a double splash to the top rope, and they are your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Surprising finish.
We were surprised.
But if it keeps this feud going, I'm all for it.
It was a pleasant surprise. And, I again, this is one of those things where the New Day are the New Day. They don't need championships to you know, for stories to be built around them. I kind of feel like the Usos need them more than the New Day. That's my gut feeling.
Say this match goes on in, I don't know, for another 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Trade the belts a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that'll do wonders.
It's okay. You can do
elevate
that.
The Usos to the level of the New Day.
Yeah,
and then you have two really good established tag team on SmackDown to anchor that division.
Yeah.
Because it needs it. Right now, it's the New Day and then slightly below the Usos, and there's a huge drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one super chat here from Mickey Daly, £2. Which title change shocked you the most? We'll get to that. Probably Natalya winning.
Yeah, but even that, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened.
Oh, I know.
I don't know if there was a situation where I would have been, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. I'm not sure if any of these surprised me so much or confused me so much.
Like, Jinder winning didn't necessarily surprise me. How it was booked surprised me.
Yeah. But first, before we get to that, let's talk about the KFC promo.
Oh, wow.
The integration, of course. SummerSlam was brought to you by KFC and Cricket Wireless.
Yeah.
I believe. And I didn't notice amazing integrations with Cricket Wireless, but I did notice, you know, they had like auditions.
Yeah, so Dolph reprised his role as Colonel Sanders.
World's best chicken sandwich, huh?
There you go. And then other WWE superstars were trying to take that role.
Right, exactly.
Auditioning.
And then we found out who won the role of Colonel Sanders. It was none other than the returning HBK, the Heartbreak Kid, Mr. WrestleMania himself, Shawn Michaels, who came out. I marked out so hard.
It was hilarious.
For HBKFC. I number one, it's official. I'm signing him to W. Steve W. Okay. Starting next week.
Okay.
Only because I don't have time to create him today. Number two, his weird, you said like 25% old man.
Well,
trot.
First you said 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, like HBK
and
Showstoppa.
Old man. Yeah.
HBK performance plus 50% old man.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it's more 75% HBK, 25% old man.
He was injecting a little bit of old man in him.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I just loved it. And apparently, Courtney, apparently you read.
Yeah, and Cage Side Seats, the rumor roundup this morning said that that part was originally written for Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Who obviously, due to his health troubles of late, couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So we got HBKFC.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was fantastic.
And who doesn't love HBKFC? Next up, we had backstage, we had Paul Heyman grabbing
fantastic.
The mic and starting to talk up Brock Lesnar. And Braun Strowman cuts him off, grabs the mic, and says what?
You talk too much.
Which is absolutely true.
And that was all he said. It was great.
I know. It was, yeah, that's all we needed. It was great. All right, so that led us to the main card,
yep.
Now that we've talked about it for 20 minutes now. That led to the main card, which was started off with John Cena again.
Hold on a second. Fatty 2NV, $5 Australian, biggest ups of the night. We'll get to that.
Yeah. John Cena versus Baron Corbin. Now, I called this. This week, man, I'm telling you, I know we traded 2-2 on predictions for last night. NXT, I ran the table. That was all me, baby. I'm king.
Yeah, I was expecting different call ups essentially. That's why I picked NXT the way I did.
I have the answers.
You have the algorithm, apparently.
I have the algorithm for predictions. This I called a mile out. This was a supreme. Well, I'm not going to say it's subprime, but this was a burial.
It was a pretty solid burial.
John Cena had I've never seen, only one man, well, two men really, have mastered the burial face. One is John Cena and two is Triple H. Triple H, he just walks around with burial face because he knows, especially these days, he has the power to bury anybody and anything he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Vince ultimately has burial face.
Yeah, he does too.
But John
on
Cena.
Camera.
On camera. It's all Triple H. John Cena.
He was having such a good time.
He was so giddy. He was so giggly, and it just screamed Burial City.
Well, he started the match like toying with Baron, and then goes outside the ring, says something to JBL. What did he say? Oh, he says, I'm in his head, or this is all in his head. You know, this is all obviously following his failed Money in the Bank cash-in. He puts on JBL's hat, flashes the largest smile I've ever seen on him.
Grin from ear to ear.
Runs back in the ring. Yeah, the match has some back and forth, and there's a period of time where Baron Corbin looked like there was a potential small chance he could win.
No.
But it took all of one.
He had a little bit of offense.
It took all of one attitude adjustment to pin Baron Corbin.
The only
Everybody kicks out of the attitude adjustment on SmackDown.
Everybody kicks out of a single attitude adjustment.
On SmackDown.
On SmackDown.
On a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It should take at least two.
It takes, sometimes three. Like, if you're Sami Zayn, you can kick out a good three of them. Even Rusev. Even Rusev can kick out a couple of those.
Sami will kick out of three. Sami will kick out at least one.
Oh, though. Cena loves Sami Zayn.
Oh, I know.
And that's what it boils down to.
It might take a top rope AA to finish off Sami.
That's what it boils down to. How much does Cena really like you?
I know.
As a person, but more importantly, as a worker.
Yes.
I think they're hand in hand with Cena. I don't think Cena likes Baron Corbin at all. I think that this
personally,
was,
professionally, or both?
I think this is like Bischoff Luger, personally and professionally. I don't think John Cena likes Baron Corbin. I don't think he respects Baron Corbin at all.
Could be. I don't know.
One attitude adjustment and Baron was done. Oh my gosh. That was probably my biggest mark. It was HBKFC and Cena Baron Corbin. I thought it was hilarious. And I know we got a lot of Baron Corbin fans. I totally get
it. You're
that.
One of them.
Oh, do you share a birthday with Pacitti?
Oh, do I? Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Samoa Joe Raleigh, $2 Super Chat said happy birthday, and he thinks he shares one with Pacitti.
I think we talked about
remember that
last year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Man, so yeah, that Cena burial, that was something else. That was my markout moment of the night right there. I mean, there was a couple of them, but that was a big one. It's so, because here's the thing. We both, and we've said this before, we said this on the predictions, we've said on the SmackDown episode. We like Baron Corbin. We think that he has improved greatly, and we saw potential in him. But we also saw him bury himself on Twitter by acting a fool.
Yeah.
And if this is true, Matthew from Botchamania tweeted out that he heard Cena say, when the crowd was dueling "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks" chants, he looked over at Baron Corbin and said, "They're not even thinking about you." I don't know if that's true because I didn't see it myself. Maybe Matthew was clowning around. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is true. I think it's hilarious. I hope it is true. Man, what a humbling that was.
Yeah.
But and the thing is, I have faith that Baron can course correct.
Yeah.
He just needs to...
If he stays off the social media for a little bit.
Like, understand that you don't have to...
You don't have to respond to everybody that talks trash to you.
Right. It's just Twitter.
There's a mute button.
There is a mute button. I have used the mute button several times.
Same here.
There are probably plenty of people out there who tweet rude things to me. They don't even know that I don't see them.
Yep.
It's a mute button. It's great. Anyways. Next up, we had, probably the most surprising...
Well, I think primarily it was surprising.
There is two surprising things.
It was this match. The finish of this match was surprising. Natalya versus Naomi. Really good, really fun match.
Mm-hmm.
Was surprising because we had heard that they were planning on keeping the belt on Naomi for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lo and behold, Natalya wins.
Yeah, and there was, I think the bigger thing was there was not even a tease of a cash in.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of Carmella, and I wonder if this was all sorted out, right? Because didn't you say that the betting odds shifted like right before the show in terms of this match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a late shift in the betting odds.
It wouldn't surprise me at all because Carmella had like a really cool looking outfit on with like a big dollar sign on it,
mm-hmm.
that I think was posted like WWE's Instagram or somebody's Instagram. Maybe
it was
hers.
Yeah.
So there had to have been something in the works. Maybe they were just tight on time. I don't know. Maybe I will almost guarantee that something's going to go down on SmackDown.
Could. I guess the show ended kind of at 8:00 Pacific on the dot.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
But, you know, they've run over on other pay-per-views before. I don't know why they were so adamant to get this one done right at 8:00.
I don't know. I would imagine there's probably some contractual thing.
Or maybe it's
somewhere.
It could be. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. Sarah Small, $2 super chat. Rude coming to the main roster and happy birthday to me. Thank you.
You think Rude's coming up tonight or tomorrow, right?
I don't know.
I think it's going to be a SmackDown thing, right?
Yeah.
He feels like a SmackDown guy.
Him and AJ feuding for the U.S. title?
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Phenomenal.
GFW Redux.
I know. That's one reason I didn't know if they'd want to do that, though.
Yeah. Look, man, at a certain point, I mean, you got Samojo, AJ Styles.
I know. If he's chipping the Raw, yeah, at a certain point, he's
Mike Bennett
feud with... Well, you don't have to worry about Mike Bennett anytime soon, I don't think. It doesn't seem like. Joe and Bobby Roode feuding at some point if Roode would end up on Raw. So I know.
Some of that's going to happen. You're going to have some crossover. I mean, they basically have Ring of Honor on NXT now.
I know. Dami Ray, $2. Leo Rush confirmed. I know. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Leo Rush is great.
Good stuff. I imagine we're going to see some sort of cash-in shenanigans, something going on in
SmackDown.
We'll at
least start teasing.
I think tonight, let me ask you this. I think tonight and tomorrow are going to be, they're going to be booking these as if they were Raw and SmackDowns after Mania. I really get that feeling. I think we're going to get some call-ups. We haven't heard anything on the wire about a shake-up, but it wouldn't surprise me if we saw some shake-up-esque things happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Next up, Enzo came out and delivered a promo.
Oh, so long.
Kind of got to say it. I could care less. Really, don't care.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
So he gets in the shark cage, gets raised above the ring.
Yeah.
Match between Cass and Will.
Big Show's really selling that
broken
hand.
Yeah, he has like a soft Cass looking thing on it.
Yeah.
So this match is pretty boring. Pretty slow.
Yeah.
Kind of took the air out of the arena.
I thought there was, you know what, you do what you can to try to make it fun. And so I try to look at the good things.
I mean, Enzo's antics up in the shark cage were, I guess, moderately entertaining.
I think here's my thing with it. Big Show was selling not just the hand. So, like, he delivered a knockout punch pretty
early.
Oh, to
Cass. Yeah, yeah. And he sold the broken hand. And they tried to tell a story, and I appreciate that.
The vast majority of my recollection of this match was Big Show, like, knelt over, like, you know, bent over in pain, selling the hand. I didn't really feel like at any point there was any back and forth here.
I think that's the thing, is that at no point did it feel like the outcome of this match was in doubt.
And then Enzo, I talk about this on the highlights, lowlights with Dan. I actually kind of thought this was funny, how Enzo, again... because of at my predictions, called this. He tried to use himself as the object that was thrown down from the shark cage mm-hmm. to assist Big Show, but I think he actually just did more harm than good because they both ended up eating boots and losing.
Yeah, cast one. Not a surprise. It did take two boots and an Empire Elbow to defeat the Big Show, though.
Did Joey Ryan tweet anything out about Enzo oiling himself up?
Didn't notice that. We got a couple super chats. John Paul Gill, 5 pounds. Happy birthday, Larson. Thank you. Have you heard Meltzer's review of the show? He thought it was a little overcritical. And his question is, Rude taking Corbin's spot on the main card? Potentially.
yeah, in terms of like, you know, if you just want that spot is just, you know, heel.
Upper mid-card heel? Yeah.
I could see that.
Pacifist, $2. He says, thank you, Cesaro. I agree.
Oh, Cesaro. Oh, yeah, with your stupid Beach Ball Mania problems.
What? Jake Weinreb, $5. Speaking of call-ups, I'll be at Raw tonight. Will I see a call-up?
Yeah.
I'll say yes.
Yeah, I think you're going to.
Wow, another super chat.
My goodness, people.
Taylor Sexton, do you want to try to save the super chats for the end of the show?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Yeah, we can go back to him in the live dashboard.
Yeah. $5. If Strowman, our generation Steve Austin, he gets pops for messing people up while still technically a heel. I think he's just like the latest Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, people like destruction.
Yep.
People love destruction.
They like to see awesome feats of strength.
Yeah, exactly.
And destruction.
Yeah.
Yes.
So please, by all means, if you want to keep on super chatting,
yeah, we'll
just go ahead.
Save them for the end of the show. Yeah,
exactly.
After Cass and Big Show, we had a backstage segment with Kurt Angle and Daniel Bryan.
It was all just gimmick infringement.
Pretty much.
They were doing each other's lines.
Was trash talk.
Yeah.
And gimmick infringement.
But they're both so likable.
Yes.
That it just came off as, oh.
Charming.
This is charming.
Charming.
Exactly. I'd rather charming. See these two go at it in the ring.
But they seem to be really amplifying tensions between the brands.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to kind of have like a bidding war over some NXT.
Oh, that could be because they were also, yeah, they were scouting at TakeOver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was sitting there talking with Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
Next up,
Randy Orton versus Rusev. So Orton comes out first. During his entrance, he's posing on the turnbuckle. Rusev attacks him from behind.
We are officially on
Rusev. Release watch.
Release watch, yeah. Continue on.
So, please. Rusev beats the hell out of Orton all around the ringside area. The ref finally tries to get the match started. Separates him, gets him in the corners. Orton's in his corner selling the beat down.
Mm-hmm.
Bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev runs towards Orton. Orton just evades him, gives an RKO, match over. 10 seconds, I think it was.
That was your match. You know, I'll say this, though. I'm just going to say this. I know it's not good.
It's awful.
I know it's awful. I get that. However,
Rusev has all the potential. He could be a main event heel.
Oh, yeah, he could. Absolutely. You love Rusev? I love Rusev. Given the choice between a match that lasts 10 minutes, knowing full well that Randy Orton is going to pull the win out.
Or just getting it out of the way.
Or just getting it out of the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm totally fine with it out of the way.
I guess you could say that Rusev had a good showing because he beat down Orton before the match started.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for a good competitive 10-minute match.
I know. You want Rusev to look good.
Yeah.
But
he kind of looked like a joke.
Well, I'll put it this way. This wasn't a squash match.
Hold on. If you're just counting from when the bell rang to the bell rang, it was a squash match.
A squash match is an extended period of time when one person is annihilated and gets off zero offense.
The way they book the RKO, it's pretty much one RKO equals 5 minutes of offense.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man. I mean, look, man, Rusev, I don't think...
It was lame. Rusev deserves better.
I think Rusev, if the reports are true that Rusev is trying to negotiate his release, then this is exactly why that match happened the way it did. So that's why I think that might happen in the next day or two. We'll see. That's a bummer though.
It is a bummer
because, and you know, and the funny thing is, and it all depends, look, man, it all depends on what you want out of life. You know, whatever you want out of your job, out of your career, how much you think you're worth, that all depends. I personally feel that they have treated Rusev. Have they put the world title on him? No. Do they treat him like a credible threat, like a star? Yeah, they do. He just fought Cena. Granted, it was a flagpole match, whatever the crap that was, mm-hmm. you know? But when Cena came back, Rusev was the first guy they fed him.
I know. Rusev, he has established himself as the jobber to the stars.
He has. He's not lingering. He's not lingering there like on main event. Like, they do use him in a fairly high-profile way. I think him and Lana will be fantastic. And I know I'm going to catch heat for saying this. They'll be fantastic on Total Divas.
Yeah.
You know, like, Rusev is, I think they use him in a very important role in the company.
Yeah.
But if, as an individual, if he feels like, hey, you know what?
I could be doing more.
I am a mark for the belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I could be doing more. Dude, look, here's the thing. His current position in the WWE is much higher than reigning GFW champion. And I think that that's kind of what he's going to end up being if he's not with the WWE. He's not going to go to New Japan. Oh, that's not going to happen.
I think that's a possibility.
I don't think that's a possibility. I don't think he's going to go to Ring of Honor. I think he's a GFW guy. I hate to say that, but I think that ex-League of Nations guys... They're GFW guys.
I don't know. I think Rusev's background lends himself to some deal of success in New Japan. I think it does.
I think there's the possibility. I just don't think that, because here's the thing, you and I kind of agree that Lana's probably going to stick around WWE. Yeah,
they're not going to let her out of her contract.
So do you think he's going to be over there in Japan while she's all the way out?
Well, I think the schedule in Japan is far different than what WWE has to do.
Yeah.
So
I just think if he's at the home base in GFW and...
Well, they do live in Nashville, and that's where GFW is based. It's a possibility. I hope not.
I hope so, man. Give me something to talk about in my reviews. You're seriously not going to start watching GFW if Rusev shows up?
Probably not.
As Alexander the Great?
Probably not.
Oh, man. Let's continue on.
Yes. Next, we had a really short backstage segment between Sasha Banks and Bayley. Crowd was booing Bayley.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter. I don't know who it was. Some random person, I think. Said, you know, it was just 2 years ago that her and Sasha were putting on match of the year, basically.
It was just last year we saw Bayley's last NXT match.
Yeah.
And she was super over.
Yeah, I'm not huge on you know, you can not appreciate how people are handled by creative. I wouldn't boo them for that, you know? I don't get that, man. But people will do what people do. Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. We both said this when they both came out. They both had loose face.
But Alexa had super loose face.
That was the most loose face I think I saw the entire night.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen a loss as telegraphed as that one.
And Sasha's loose face, you called it correctly, and I understood, had more to do with that weird... I don't know what the dinosaur was called in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But I made the joke, and then everybody started putting on... I didn't make the joke. I said that it reminded me of that because to everybody else it did too.
Yeah, everybody thought up the joke.
Not
the
claiming
same
credit on that one.
Yes.
But everybody else was posting memes of that ridiculous outfit she had on. And so I think that had more to do with uncomfortability. But Alexa Bliss coming out. We've heard that they have...
They don't get along, per se.
They don't get along, that there's legitimate heat between the two. And maybe Alexa was not happy. I don't... Alexa always... She always kind of comes off as like a team player, though. I have no idea.
I don't know.
You get a glimpse of people's general disposition. Whether it's, you know, on their Instagram, on WWE social media, when they're not in character.
Yeah.
And I don't know, she just comes off like a team player. And she might very well be. She did the job last night.
She did.
She tapped out. She did this thing.
Yep.
So maybe that's all we can expect. But, man, she came out and her face was so in the lost column.
Super loose face. Just, I'm going to say this real quick. Super chats, we will get to at the end of the show. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This was actually pretty, especially the first half of this match, pretty hard hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And we both speculated that it was perhaps they were setting up for a potential Carmella cash in
mm-hmm.
for the Raw Women's title.
Yeah.
At one point, Alexa Bliss hits Twisted Bliss
mm-hmm.
off the top rope. Sasha kicks out.
Yeah.
Alexa's beside herself. We had a couple spots with Bank Statement.
Mm-hmm.
With the Bank Statement before Alexa finally tapped out.
Yeah. Kind of surprised there was no Nia Jax.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting, but, you know, I mean, it's a packed show. You can't put everybody in there. You can't always have shenanigans.
Correct.
I mean, we did have a lot of clean finishes going on.
So yeah.
That was good. Next up, we had, oh, man, I put all sorts of raspberry jelly on you, man. Now you're the demon. Bray Wyatt versus the Demon King.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor.
So Bray comes out, does his usual entrance.
Mm-hmm.
For Finn, he's starting to play. He's playing some mind games with Bray because mm-hmm. he comes out before his theme begins. There's a chorus singing, he's got the whole world in his hands, which, of course, Bray has been singing for years.
Right, right, right.
And the story of this match was Bray trying to use his usual mind game gimmicks, but Balor always had a comeback.
Finn Balor.
And in the end, Balor got the upper hand, won with the coup de grace.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was kind of a match that you'd expect from both guys.
Yeah, it's a pretty typical Bray yeah. Wyatt match and also a pretty typical Finn Balor match.
Yeah.
Again, the only difference between the normal Finn Balor and Demon Finn Balor is maybe a 15% increase in aggressiveness.
Right, 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 yeah. So, is what it is.
It was a decent match, just... it was good, but nothing really stood out as far as I could tell.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm usually good with I like what Bray Wyatt can do in the ring. I honestly think that now Bray Wyatt would be an interesting New Japan guy because I think that's kind of the difference. You can take sort of Bray Wyatt and Rusev, all right, to put them together, and this is why I think that Rusev's better off at GFW.
Because well, hold on.
I think
I don't know if anybody's better off in GFW.
I think there is that empty, that unused, untapped potential of Bray Wyatt. I think Bray Wyatt can do a lot more in the ring than we've been led on to believe yeah. or that we've been allowed to see.
That's the case with Rusev, too.
I don't know. Not sure about that. I get the feeling.
But I also feel like New Japan, a lot of their characters are very grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bray obviously is not.
Oh,
so if
yeah,
he were to carry a similar gimmick yeah. over to New Japan, he would really have to tone down the supernatural yeah. aspects of it. Yeah. Whereas Rusev wouldn't have to really change much of anything. And we know Rusev is a funny guy. He is funny.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. So much of New Japan is performance based and telling and showing us who your character is in the ring with unique performances. I don't know that's in Rusev's thing. I see him, you know, he's all we've seen really is this anti-American Bulgarian guy, and that itself is not going to translate to New
Oh
Japan.
No, he wouldn't be able to do that thing, you know. Well, you don't think during the feud with Dolph he showed some dimension to his character?
Well, he showed some comedic chops.
Yeah.
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 All right, moving on. We had next up, this was a fun match.
Yeah,
this
gave it
really fun.
Tons of time.
We had Buckler versus T-Bar 1 and 2.
T-Bar, yeah.
This was a running joke during this match on the live stream. So Seth comes out in his Deadpool gear.
Yeah, a lot of red.
Deadpool pants.
A lot of red.
Dean tried to match him by just having his very basic DA logo.
In red on a hoodie.
On a black hoodie. So they were kind of thematically together on the same page.
But then once Dean took the hoodie off for the match, it was just...
She should have worn like some red chucks or something.
Dean Ambrose,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I do like, though, that you pointed out during the stream that Finn, it kind of takes away
from your
demon mystique.
When he's got Nikes on.
When he's got Nikes on.
I know.
So anyways, this is Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins versus Sheamus, San Cesaro.
Do for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Ambrose... kind of early on was knocked out of this match after Sheamus gave him a broke kick on the outside.
Yeah, it happened pretty early.
Probably for the first quarter of the match, Ambrose was just laid up on the mat on the outside.
Right, right, right.
So Seth had to do a lot of the heavy lifting for the first quarter through the match. Ambrose finally comes in, and you know, it's all classic Shield stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorite part of this match, maybe the favorite part of the whole show. Cesaro goes to the crowd, rips apart a beach ball with his bare hands. He can't stand beach ball mania. I can't stand Beach Ball Mania.
I love Beach Ball Mania, man.
We're going to forever differ on that.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I might do? I might bring a beach ball to No Mercy.
Get seats not next to you.
Really?
Or I'm going to do a Cesaro myself.
Oh, no.
With my bare hands. I've been working out. I might be able to do that now.
Oh, rip a beach ball?
Yeah. The hardest part is just getting through the I guess it's made of vinyl. I don't know what it's made
of. I can't believe it'd be that difficult to rip a beach ball. I mean, maybe if you're doing it a certain way, but if you really get in the seams, I think you might be.
It's just once you puncture it,
once you puncture it,
I think puncturing it's gonna be the hardest part.
Probably. Anyways, lots of fun stuff here. We had the Shield doing their double suicide dive, their in tandem suicide dive. I do wish that the entire match was them, you know.
They should have walked down shielding. The ramp like that.
They should have walked hand in hand.
And then one time they did it at the end after they won.
Oh, that was a massive botch.
It was a horrible
botch.
It
was a wonderful botch.
Like, it was like that.
It was like. And they eventually get on the same page.
They did that finally, I know. So the finish, Seth hit his finisher. I still don't know what it's called.
Does that have a name yet?
I don't think so. And then Ambrose is there, hits the Dirty Deeds on Sheamus, gets the pin.
Mm-hmm.
New Raw Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
Next major feud against Authors of Pain, probably, after they have the rematch with Sheamus and Cesaro.
Really? Oh, I hope so.
That'd be great.
Oh, man. And the Authors of Pain put on their full Ninja Turtle gear?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that'd be great. Hey, dude, gnarly. Whoa, what did Bruce used to do? Retro Bruce?
Yeah.
Dang it, that was funny.
That was great.
Yeah, gnarly. Yeah. Then he'd kill himself. Oh, man.
Okay,
after
that.
Good old Machinima.
AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States title. I said this during the stream. Why can't they just let these two guys have a five-star match?
Man, I totally agree with you. We talk about this at length in the highlights, lowlights later on with Dan. But no, we'll reiterate here. Why couldn't they just have... Just, you've had three matches. Two botches and one botch ref. Because Shane McMahon is a terrible ref.
Terrible ref. The whole point of this match is to further a storyline between Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens.
You have two of the best wrestlers, not only on your roster, but I'm sorry, in the world.
No need to apologize. That's the truth.
Kevin Owens and AJ Styles are two of the best pro wrestlers on the planet. They could both... Well, we've seen one of them literally thrive in New Japan.
Yeah.
And the other one has thrived in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Obviously. Could do miracles in New Japan.
And the thing is, in all their matches, we've seen glimpses of what could have been. And this match was good. It was still plenty good, despite the Shane storyline that was shoehorned into the
Shane,
match.
Shane, who meddled more, Shane or Michael Hayes, Ric Flair versus Kerry Von Erich?
I think Michael Hayes meddled more.
He was very hands-on.
Yes, very much so.
And shirtless.
Like I said, the Shane storyline, unnecessary. This match was still good enough, though.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, we saw Shane was going to play a role because AJ was climbing to the top rope. Owens pushed Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Shane goes into the ropes, knocks AJ off the top.
Yeah.
There was a couple times that happened. Owens, at one point, was on the ground. Shane was checking on him. Owens grabs him, pulls him on top while AJ hits the springboard 450 splash.
Yeah.
Another time, Owens pushes AJ into Shane. After that, AJ has Owens in the calf crusher. Owens is tapping out, but Shane's on the outside coming too, so he doesn't see Owens tap out.
What did Kevin Owens say? He said, you can fall off the building and you're fine, but that just killed you. Something like that.
Yeah. There was this interesting spot that might have been a botch that was somehow transitioned to a Styles clash. Amazing. They're able to improvise to that degree.
Oh, and I love my new favorite seller for the Styles clash is Kevin Owens, because that dude puts his head so far back. He's touching AJ's butthole, basically. Man. He's like this.
Well, he's doing a handstand
the
whole time.
Yes, he's like, this is not, he's doing a handstand, exactly.
And looking up.
Yeah.
So right after that, Owens hits a pop-up powerbomb. Shane goes to count the pinfall, but AJ's foot is on the rope, so he says, nope, wasn't a three count, two.
Yeah, Kevin Owens beside himself.
Yeah.
Because I think Shane actually counted three and then immediately waved said his foot's on the thing.
And he said, no, it was a two count.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, AJ hits the phenomenal forearm, follows it up with Styles clash, gets the win.
Yep.
This feud's done.
This feud is done.
On to Owens and Shane for Survivor Series, probably.
What does it mean for AJ Styles?
Maybe Bobby Roode.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd
Dare be I say glorious.
It would be glorious. Next up, we had match of the night. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal.
This is just a bummer of a match. Not necessarily the outcome. It's just this match was completely bereft of drama.
I know. And it's Shinsuke Nakamura. Have him kick out of one Colossus. Although, like, I'm so torn on it. I kind of appreciate that they booked the Colossus so strong.
I appreciate that. It's not necessarily that, but... I just feel like
he didn't even attempt to hit it a couple times, and Shinsuke got out of it.
So, I mean, there was no drama to it whatsoever.
I know.
The Singh brothers came into the ring. 8 Kinshasas.
Mm-hmm.
That was enough to distract Nakamura enough so Jinder could get the Colossus off. That was it.
Now, if you have a title shot and you lose, do you then get a rematch?
No.
No.
No. Right? No.
It'll happen.
Oh, it will.
See, there's part of me thinks this is going to happen on SmackDown tomorrow night. I kind of think that they might do that. Has anything been announced for SmackDown? Is that what you're going to look up right now?
No, not the Marv. Hold on, I'm looking something else.
Because, yeah, I mean, the match, I just feel like they do this. And last night we got a lot of good outcomes. I thought we got a lot of, you know, there was a lot of shenanigans. There weren't a lot of matches that were like, oh, we're going to get a better version of this on SmackDown. I feel like this is the one case where we're probably going to get a better version of this on SmackDown.
This is one reason why they're...
Because they're going to India?
In September, yeah.
Oh, in September.
Yeah.
Next month.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Mahal will carry the belt through that tour.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But then why put Nakamura in that position?
What, is Nakamura going to be eating losses in India the entire time? Are they going to get into an actual program? Or...
I don't know.
Nah, man.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Just do the card like we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Corbin and Nakamura and then Cena and Mahal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
don't know either. And lastly, the main event. Fantastic. Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title. Tons of fun.
Magnificent way to finish your card.
Yeah.
Because regardless of what you thought about the rest of it, and nobody, I don't think anybody universally has said, this is absolute crap.
I mean the card as a whole?
Yeah.
I thought
it was fine.
Ups and downs like any other card.
I'm trying to remember last year. So we were at last year's SummerSlam. I think this was on par because last year's SummerSlam had good and bad. This had good and bad.
Yeah.
This was, I knew going in, I was so happy.
Oh, we both assumed this would just be absolute chaos, and it delivered.
And it delivered. And I was so happy that they started this at 7:30 and not 7:45. Because like, oh, wow, we get 30. These guys get to just roam around. There was like not a lot of action inside the ring. It was all outside of the ring.
Yeah, for the most part, especially
the
first half.
There was so much great, man. We had Roman Reigns spearing Brock through the barricade. What did Joe Uranagi's Roman on top of the announce table? That thing collapsed.
Yeah, and then Strowman power slams Brock through one of the announce tables. Then he throws a chair at Roman and Joe. Then he goes back to Brock and power slams him through another announce table and then dumps the third announce table on top of him.
Braun Strowman was the MVP of the night.
Oh, gosh,
He established himself. I'm sorry. He solidified himself as true heir apparent to that Universal Championship. It is absolutely and totally believable, and people are going to mark out big time when Braun does win that title.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to turn Braun face or turn Braun. I want let Braun be Braun. People will mark out for him.
Just
let him be himself.
I said this on our highlights and lowlights video, or it'll go up tomorrow. People love seeing impressive feats of strength.
They love destruction.
And they love destruction.
Yeah.
Braun accomplished both those things.
They love unapologetic destruction.
Exceptionally well.
Absolutely. I think Braun is killing it right now across the board. If you look at that Juno read that he did, I thought that goes a long way. Like, you'd never see Baron Corbin doing that.
No.
That was like one thing. Every once in a while, it comes together for a WWE superstar when it's like, oh, so they're launching this guy, or there's things happening where he is showing off, where he is being featured.
You see him develop and yeah, I know he's getting pushed, but everything about it feels organic.
Yeah. He was on the red carpet at that the 2K kickoff party thing, and everything that I saw, he's a total natural.
Mm-hmm.
He is an absolute perfect fit for top guy of the company.
Yeah.
He really is. And in my opinion, heir apparent to Brock Lesnar. I know Brock is always going to be a singular guy.
Yeah.
Because he's legit UFC.
Yeah, he has the fight background.
He's got the bona fides.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that we're going to have another Brock Lesnar anytime soon.
No, but in terms of a nearly unbeatable monster.
And company guy. Brock.
Yes.
Brock looks out for himself. Braun, I feel, looks out for himself, but he's a company guy.
Yeah.
And you have to love that.
Yeah. Even after all that destruction, Braun grabs the steel stairs and just starts beating everybody with him.
Yeah, it was great.
And then just throws him in the ring.
Because, they take Brock away on a stretcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the ring, double choke slam to Joe and Roman Reigns, again, from Braun. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, Brock makes his return. So they take him out in the stretcher through the crowd, and he comes back down the ramp. Reigns hits a spear on Brock. Lesnar kicks out.
Yeah.
Strowman hits Joe with a power slam. Brock, who is on the outside, pulls the ref out as he's counting the three. Braun hits a power slam on Roman. Brock makes or breaks up the pin.
Yeah.
This is like one of the few times we've actually seen desperation from Brock Lesnar.
It's and it was great because there needs to be. Okay, so last year when he took on Randy Orton, it was that was like the pinnacle of my like I'm over Brock Lesnar thing.
He didn't seem to care at all.
He milled about, he dropped a lot of German suplexes, he opened up Randy Orton, which was really gross. You know, like I like blood. I like blood in matches, you know. I think it's great. But when it's obvious that like Brock Lesnar just opening up a guy and like potentially concussing the crap out of him, yeah, exactly. Then I'm like, you know what? I don't need to see that. There was zero effort on Brock Lesnar's part last year. This year, when you have to break up two, dude, we have seen Dana Brooke. We have seen how not look. It is not easy to break up. Quick, you know, like the margin of error is so slim
to break it up and have it mean like you can go in and break it up at one, but that's not dramatic,
right? Exactly. To break it up when that hand is an inch away from the ground,
yep,
to grab the ref when that's happening, to have the presence of all, Brock doesn't do that very often.
Mm-mm.
So for him to be engaged in the match, for him to be earning his paycheck,
yes, and to value that title,
we don't see it very often.
Nope.
And we saw that last night from Brock Lesnar. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
I think Brock, number one, really, really likes Samoa Joe, who Samoa Joe seemed to be having, even though Samoa Joe was...
He was playing the opportunist role in this match.
Yeah, he was.
He picking his spots.
He was, but understanding, like, as a performer, hey, I'm not going to be really heavily featured in this, so I have to stand out. That's what I saw from Samoa Joe is... I'm not going to be that heavily featured. Braun is going to be doing the fun stuff. Brock is Brock and Roman is the heir apparent. Okay. So Samoa Joe's kind of the odd man out, but he was the one out there who was making the most of what opportunity he was given. He was grabbing at that opportunity. Yeah. And whenever the camera was on him, he belonged there.
Oh yeah. Before the match even started, when Brock was coming out the whole time, Joe was like, mirroring him as Brock was walking around the floor. Joe was following in the ring, just talking garbage.
To me, Joe came out with win face. And I knew deep down that it wasn't going to happen, but you would never know it given his character's confidence. And that's what you want to see. Alexa Bliss comes out there and she looks like she's already done.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe comes out there understanding that he's not really going to play a heavy role in the match. I mean, he got plenty of chokes on and everything.
Yeah, but he comes out with confidence that would make you believe that he could win the match.
Exactly.
And he's a pro.
He's a pro.
He's a pro. So later on, Joe has Brock in the Coquina clutch, mirroring their match at Great Balls of Fire. Brock reverses it into an F5, goes for the pin. Roman breaks up the pinfall. Roman gets the upper hand. He doles out a bunch of Superman punches.
Yeah.
Sets up to spear Brock. Brock catches him, gives him an F5, pins Roman, retains the title. I kind of called the Roman pin. You didn't think Roman was going to get a pin.
No, I didn't.
And I thought, nope, they're setting up a story for WrestleMania.
All right, well. Showcase hands. I like that you reciprocated.
Well, yeah. It's a nice thing to do.
It is a nice thing to do.
I mean, Bob, you got me a Bullet Club Hunter shirt. I mean, what else am I supposed to do other than reciprocate?
That was more of a heel turn on my part.
I'm no selling your heel turn.
Oh, no. Anyways, let's talk about some of these super chats here, answer some questions, and then we'll call it a day.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to call it a day.
Okay, not like for us, for the live stream.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We read that one. Okay, here we go. Mohammed Jaber, $10 super chat says, "Happy birthday, Larson."
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
I'll accept showcase hands there.
Okay, Robin Lego Boy, Kroner, 20 Kroners, says, "Braun was my favorite part of the pay per view." Your thoughts?
Agreed, I agree 100%.
My favorite part as well. And finally, 5 euros from Soft 21. Says Bobby Roode answers AJ's U.S. Open Challenge on SmackDown Tuesday.
Could be.
The people would mark out.
Yeah, that arena would
so
blow the roof off
massively if when that bar hits the piano bar. I think it is
cord.
Is that cord. A cord or
yeah,
a bar?
A bar is a way to play a chord on a guitar.
All right.
Sean Holver, $5. What's next for Reigns, Lesnar, Strowman, and Joe? Probably Lesnar Strowman after last night.
I think we're going to get Lesnar Strowman at No Mercy.
Yeah, and could be Reigns Joe. I don't know.
Yeah, that could go down. It's sad because I hope they continue. Number one, I honestly think that one of my points is we know that Brock likes working with Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that Brock likes working with the other two as well. I think he likes working with Roman, and I think he likes working with Braun now, especially after tonight. I get that feeling. We got one more super chat here. $2 from Jake Weinrib. Are they going to feed Braun to Brock at No Mercy? Yeah, I don't believe that he would win over Brock. I don't think anybody. I think at this point, Brock's going to have it till Mania.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much
that's going to be the case. So,
but I think Braun will probably be the one wrestler up until Mania that's really going to push Lesnar to the edge.
I hope so.
Of defeat.
I hope so.
I would hope so. Because even if they do that, then even in a loss, Braun's going to look great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Because we've seen that with him and Roman. I mean, you can kind of you can't really declare definitively who has come out of that feud.
That's what makes it so good.
On top, which is what makes it great. How do you go through a feud and both men look amazing on the aftermath? That's what you want.
I know.
That's what you want.
I know. That's when things are booked correctly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for all the birthday wishes. I appreciate it.
And keep an eye out for our NXT review. It's going to go up tonight.
Yep. We're going to do that after lunch.
All right. Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.